This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear, at length, from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry, with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of our listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind landmark projects. You can find that at dsprojects.podbean.com. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. A lot of companies run by creatives and software developers have found their way into the digital signage business on the backs of projects they delivered. But I wouldn't really see that happening with a company that's all about online payments. That's exactly, though, the backstory on Telemetry, a Vancouver, BC startup that grew out of a need by the sister company to visualize all the data they were generating from transactions. The software team looked around the marketplace for applications that would do the job, and when they concluded what was out there didn't fit, they wrote their own. With homegrown digital dashboards around the office showing the team what was going on in the business, CEO Peter Fahlman and his colleagues concluded what they had was a great tool, but also something they could productize without really even knowing what digital signage was all about. Now Telemetry is a full cloud-based digital signage CMS, tightly tied in with Google's Chrome services. Enabling real-time dashboards is, to me, the particularly interesting thing about what the company does. But Fahlman tells me in this conversation that they're more than just live pie charts and graphs. Peter, thanks for joining me today. Can you, first of all, tell me what Telemetry is all about, or do you call the company Telemetry TV?
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me. And we call it Telemetry around the shop, Telemetry TV, when we're formally introducing ourselves to new folks. But yeah, Telemetry TV got its birth really out of another operating company that I've been involved in for the last 20 years in the payments industry. And it's the proverbial itch we tried to scratch in that payments company. And in payments, specifically e-commerce payments, where our background is, the need to know right now by the second is, you know, increasingly through the payments journey, a higher and higher value. You really need to know. We're a small company in the payments business. And when we got all of the right people in that company in the right seats, we were as good as anyone out there and continue to be that way. But as a small company, I was increasingly uncomfortable with the need for luck to get everyone into the right seats. And it spoke to just this shared knowing and how quickly could we get that shared knowing across the organization. And of course, we're kind of a software background. So that small company is a software company, which is increasingly through modern tooling, you know, remote, not necessarily all in the same room, and that type of challenge for an operations company. And maybe I'll back up even further, because I think software gives software development gives a particular lens on digital signage, which is where we find ourselves with Telemetry TV. But, you know, I always say with software developers, which I've been hanging out with for 25 years, and it's been a privilege actually, but I'm not a software developer. And
you know how to talk to them though.
Well, you know, what do you get when you get two software developers in a room? You get an argument. What do you get when you get more than two? You get a better argument. And I've been a part of these, and they're always engaging, and they're always interesting, and they're always consequential. Because if you get, you know, some of the architecture wrong in software, it puts you on a particular path that can be painful and miserable. But anyways, in one of these arguments years ago, I asked the arguing developers if we could at least agree on the time. And the argument stopped and glanced up to the standard clock on the wall, the Wilcox, and everyone agreed it was 10 to 2. And I thought, okay, good. It's a start. And so really what happened in the payments company was, you know, we got into the clock making business. And just through an iterative process, we started to develop more meaningful clocks about the payment industry. And this is in the form of, data metrics and key performance indicators and these things that were increasingly getting more and more real time in nature. So in our business, transactions per second rules. That's where we needed to understand what were the engines, what's the RPM that we're running at across the infrastructure. When we could argue about whose responsibility or what silo, all those things after the fact, but, during the race, can we at least agree that, hey, we're currently running at, 50 transactions a second or 5,000 RPM, as it were. That will dictate how we're steering, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what was the germane starting point for what became Telemetry TV. And I'm a bit of a car guy, so telemetry has always been a word in racing just to understand the data that's driving success on the track. So that was the word that it naturally seemed to fall on what we were trying to do, which was put some sort of clock on the wall that would describe in ever greater detail some visual data or some data that we could visualize about the payments industry.
So this was a bit like a customer contact center, where in the old days they would have the little LED readouts that would say the transaction volume or the call volumes and all that sort of things and the wait times. You wanted, when you're talking about knowing, to have for your team everybody to know actually what's going on and what RPM you guys are operating at. Is that a fair assessment?
Fair assessment, exactly that. And, the context then starts to matter which group, if it's the guys who run the servers, then they're, interested in whatever, how many workers or what the insert amount and, all these various technical details. And then you get the challenge of, well, where do I find the data and how do I express that? And that became really interesting and engaging for us. And my co-founder in Telemetry TV, we've been 15-year colleagues in the payments company, and he's the architect and absolutely the author of the application Telemetry TV, which we're very proud of. Gershom Maharg is his name. And Gershom and I will, every once or twice a year, we get to kind of have a good argument together. And we were releasing a website back in mid-2000s, and he would not release the website. And I kind of felt, as a non-technical person who had paid his bill to the designers, I would like the website released. And he put the website up on the screen, on the monitor, and it was painfully obvious in his expression why, obviously, I could not release the website. Of course, for the life of me, I couldn't find anything wrong with the website until he pointed out there was a single pixel missing on the top border.
Ooh.
Which to me, I was just, what are you talking about? But it was definitely an illumination of that. I think the Steve Jobs, the back of the fence type of idea, if that single pixel is missing, what else is missing? Mm-hmm. And the website did get released, just so the record's clear, Gershom. But it really pointed out to me at that time, design matters. So there's the data and the knowing. That's critical. But then there's just the human eye and our kind of need to have a quality of production. We don't know it. We don't give it words, but we just know good production when we see it, and we know bad production when we see it. Mm-hmm. And good production has been on the increase throughout my life, where the threshold of what passes as, this will do good enough, that bar is always rising. And so that was a really important moment for us to kind of tie into the DNA of telemetry.
And did you, when you were kind of thinking about how do we get more people understanding what's actually going on, did your team, did anybody kind of look outward and see, are there tools like this out there that we can just, like, is there a software application we can just license and install and off we go?
Yeah, no, great question. And in fact, exactly what we did, because I'm actually not a big fan of doing things that are not core to us. Yeah. And this is definitely not core to us. But it was just serendipity. The tools that were available at the time, and there were some good ones that certainly lit some of our early roadmap for us in telemetry, they didn't map well to maybe specifically the payments industry, but certainly not to our instance of the payments industry. And in payments, you have a very high regulatory compliance bar and what you're doing with data and who can see data. And, you know, when you touch the data, then there's a very long list of thou shalt do the following. And they're quite expensive and they're quite tedious. And we knew that business. That is our core operating business. We definitely touch the data in the payments industry. And so we had to figure out a way to visualize the key metrics without having any access to the core data. And that was a bit of a problem that ultimately informed the architecture of Telemetry TV. So I think we were forced to come up with a solution that met our particular needs in the payments company. But as it turned out, I just had an instinct that, yeah, more and more people are going to, from other industry segments, are going to be very picky about where their data goes.
Right. So you built this. You've got these dashboards running on, presumably on big screens in your workplace, and I would imagine at one point you looked around and realized, hey, we could productize this.
Yeah, we were musing exactly that day. We were musing with this idea, and it's interesting. I've had some subsequent conversations in the years since, because this is all around 4 or 5 years ago that we start this process. Mm-hmm. But we were musing with the idea of ambient data. Like a clock on a wall. Yeah. You don't care about it until you want to know the time. And that seems like when you get into pulling out, you know, detailed real-time metrics for the payments business, that seemed like an awful lot of work to have these things hanging up on, you know, beautiful things hanging up on screens that no one really cared about until they did. But it turned out that ambient data was really important for the payments business, because what it did is it allowed people to just form way better questions. Mm-hmm. You just started to see, you know, geez, it gets sunny and hot every day at about noon. Oh, interesting.
So you wrote this, took a look around and realized, hey, we could productize this. Did you then look out at the marketplace and try to get a sense of what digital signage was all about?
Just prior to that, the answer is yes. But just prior to that, we were trying to figure out how to get the displays to stop going to blue screens. So we had Velcroed pretty much everything we could Velcro to the back of a display to make it consistently run. And we got, I'm not quite sure how, I'll have to ask Gershom how we ultimately ended up with, we got in with the Chrome OS and these Chrome devices. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, another key moment for the company. And the Chrome devices allowed us to operate the devices in a particular mode where they could fast fire back to the Telemetry TV application. And so I had a little bit more of a fire and forget a mentality where I didn't have to have a smart IT guy wiring the back of every display repeatedly to keep the displays live. And that introduced us to Google. And that was a key event for us because they recognized what we were doing, and Google was starting to make an introduction into digital signage. And at that point, I'm not even so sure we had even put the word digital and signage together in a sentence. Mm-hmm. And so, but that started then this view of the marketplace and our interest in productizing.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And now you have a fully fledged product that's your marketing is built around the idea of data dashboards, but Telemetry TV is, from your perspective, a full product that a retailer could use, a school could use, a hospital could use, or whatever. Is there a particular focus?
Yeah, so that's correct. So it is a platform. You know, we toss around the visual economy that we're all a part of and engaged in. And so this is a platform for the visual economy, you know, so it allows that business to reach out to its constituents and hopefully provide ever engaging content for those constituents. And the focus right now is on education. I gave a talk. Google invited me to introduce Telemetry TV a couple of years ago in Las Vegas at one of the signage conventions. Mm-hmm. And there happened to be in the audience a gentleman from Stanford University. And so that led to some discussions. And then we've been working with Stanford now and rolling out, you know, a general display strategy for them around digital signage. But of course, as usual, you start talking to customers and understand some of their pain points. And that led us to exploring our architecture in telemetry TV a little bit more to see if we could start to roll in some of these other pain points. And specifically, it started from the education sector, but now, of course, we're able to apply it to a more broad marketplace. But I'll just take a second on education. One of the things that they were looking for is they have all these various meeting rooms where people will break out and meet, but of course they also have classrooms, and these all have to be scheduled. And it's a really nice thing to have some visual indicator of whether a room's available, whether a room is booked, when, who's in it, who's attending, et cetera, et cetera. So architecturally in telemetry, and we were trying to figure out how to do this a couple of years ago, how to tie in all the various data feeds from these other data providers. And what we resolved, Gershom and his team resolved to do is they kind of built a, well, kind of, they built an application infrastructure where we could kind of create a very specific focused application that could snap into the telemetry TV system. I should also just point out that the telemetry TV is married to Google's device management system,
right?
So that you have a really nice kind of single point of management where you can, you know, automatically configure and deal with the various devices, and then, you know, have that Google organizational tree so you can nest your organizations. All that stuff got built into the product, so it had this robust scalability riding completely on the back of Google's device management ecosystem.
So you're able to have what could be one of the most complicated bits about a signage platform, the device management, just covered off for $2 a month by, by the biggest software company in the world.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. So when we were at the signage convention, the first one we attended, and we would see these dedicated black boxes, and it just, you know, we're looking at Chrome boxes for under $200, and we just couldn't quite equate how they were going to survive. Now, obviously, some of these signage companies, they've been around a while, and they're highly specialized doing amazing things. And that's, you know, we're more low-end disruptor. But of course, the technology's moved too, so you can do amazing things with this new technology. And at $2 a month, you get an enterprise scalable system riding Google's ropes and pulleys. So yeah, exactly that. So we built this scheduling application specifically to manage all these various rooms. But to the signage platform, it doesn't really care. It's just a type of content, and you actually drag this application into your playlist.
Right.
So now what I have is I have all of the signage in my meeting rooms, and then we've subsequently delivered this for Stanford, is, you know, the name of the room, when it's available with bright green, when it's not available with bright red. You know, you start to get into interesting things about meetings where, yeah, why don't you count down the time available left in the meeting, give some people some inspiration to land the plane, as it were. We then found out that, okay, we could tie this into Google Calendar, and that was a nice little tie-in. But in education, apparently, there's this company called 25 Live that does all the scheduling, so we tied it into that. So again, just from a software development perspective, we just kept kind of pulling on the thread, and it led us into some really interesting places.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
Because your DNA, so to speak, in this nascent industry is on the dashboard side, is it relatively easy to integrate other types of data because you're working with very rapidly changing stuff like financial data?
Yeah, the answer is yes. We've got a very well documented and accessible API, as increasingly more and more purveyors of data have also, and you can marry those two ever easier. Mm-hmm. But I think the industry is still very, very young in understanding where their data is and how they can control that. So I still feel we're in that education phase. Now, when you get to sophisticated companies, different. Mm-hmm. They're actually a lot funner to work with, in the sense that at least they know and they've got the corrals around their data, and they're really just trying to figure out how to get the display attributes right. And so one of the things we learned actually with Google, and Google took us out to introduce us to a number of enterprise customers, where things that we wouldn't have been thinking about in signage, such as single sign-on and, you know, proper authentication schemes for sign-on and things like that, yeah, using, again, other industry leaders, OAuth, et cetera, they started to boil into the product now as part of a key deliverable beyond just the display and the device management. Now you had an enterprise ask that, and you realize, oh, now the content management has to follow suit. So now you have to have permission control on content to make sure that that corporate content can be delivered across the nested silos and cannot be edited or altered, and that the individual silos can have control over their portion of the day part with their content that cannot be altered.
Everybody and their sister who develops a Chrome application wants to cozy up with Google and leverage the business relationships that they have. Why has it worked for you guys when other companies that have tried to forge partnerships with Google, I don't see a lot of activity out there between them?
Well, I think you're describing us accurately that way too, in certain respects. I mean, they're a large company. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just the fact that we're so small that we're just appropriately afraid of these guys turning hard left or hard right. So we always have a few hedges to protect ourselves. But no, our experience with Google has been extremely helpful. These guys, they've been introducing us to some key accounts that, we would be mortified even if we just made them look bad in front of the account. The fact that we were able to successfully deliver on the visualization product is really a bonus, because they've been very, very generous with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that said, we're not at the level where we're doing joint initiatives with them to the broad market yet. We're still in that proving phase.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our journey has frankly been one of identity crisis. I think the idea of dashboards just didn't feel like the right place for us to set up camp. Mm-hmm. And we had that fairly early. And digital signage was still a new concept to us, but it was also, feels like, and you would know more about this than I do, it felt like that was an industry that was, and is going through its phase of disruption. So this idea of programmatic and automatic, and then, tying into these larger ecosystems around, whether it's device management or advertising for that matter, and understanding, look, the content. Well, I was talking to a colleague who does a lot of work in real estate, and we were talking about, large commercial real estate, and talking about floor plates and floor plate sizes and square footage and driving value per square foot. And we're starting to think about that way around walls now. And signage guys probably been doing that for years. But for us as data-driven software guys, that's fairly new for us to be looking at the square footage wall plates.
Right.
And, turns out walls can talk. So what are they saying when? And, an example would be in payments. When we come in the morning, one of the things we really want to understand first and foremost is settlement. did all the money move? Because if it didn't, it's going to be a busy day. Mm. Right. And so, but I don't need to see it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. So this idea that you can kind of create great content, whether it's advertising or educational or whatnot, and kind of loop it, I think that's quite dead. And we're much closer to the fact that, you know, Dave and Peter happen to pull up to this table and that content's going to try and speak to them ever more personally.
So if I'm using telemetry, and let's use the real estate example because you mentioned it, a city's real estate board has its ongoing stats that show average sales price, number of homes for sale, the amount of inventory on the market, and so on. If they came to you and said, yeah, we want to visualize this, we want to do dynamic charting with this and for it to change as the numbers change, how would they use your system? How much work do they have to do versus work that, like, are there, is it easy to set up, or is there, is what you're offering the foundation and they've still got a lot to do?
Yeah, I think it depends what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So we can get them set up very, very easily and speaking in ways, visualizing data in ways that they previously were just unable to do very quickly. But that data is leaning more to the social side of the column, right? So, you know, whether it's Twitter or YouTube or, you know, all these types of data sets that are easy to get to, they're very cost effective. You can keep them focused on the channel and the message that you want. Now, as you start to dig into the enterprise a little deeper and find out, what we really want to tease out are these metrics. Maybe they're first to our operations team or our sales team and ultimately to our customers. You put your feet now on a little bit of a steeper grade, depending on where the organization is. If the organization has the data, they actually know where the data is. Yeah, it's quite easy. It doesn't take long at all to have some really great looking metrics.
But if those numbers are available, and they connect them, they use the data connectors to connect into your system, does your platform dynamically draw those kinds of live charts and so on, or is a developer going to have to figure that part out and then plug it into your system?
No, it's the former. It'll dynamically draw, especially when you talk about data. So we'll have a widget library, and you can take that same data and draw it visually.
So pie charts, bar charts.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that library is always growing, and it'll just happen automatically. You just start sending data to it, and you see nice pictures immediately.
Right. Okay. I'm curious, cause I've seen some images from some of the work that you guys have done, and I'm a guy who believes pretty heavily in minimalism and not trying to wedge too much into a screen, and there's a plague that's existed forever on the digital signage industry, and that people want to load up the screen with as much stuff as they can possibly ram in there, and no viewer can digest all of that. So what have you guys learned about how much you should have on a screen for a dashboard, and is it different because you're in places like operations rooms?
It's absolutely different on the audience, and we're learning. We got a long way to go in our journey on that, but we're absolutely learning that. In fact, that's what led us to digital signage. And one of those semi-annual arguments I got to have with Gershom, mm-hmm. which I always took the position that digital signage is just less dense. It's, you know, dashboards are dense. Mm-hmm. Digital signage is really less dense. It might just be a single logo. That's good for me. So anyways, we've constantly are checking back in and constantly trying to get less. And there's a design attribute in there, again, that I'm not even so sure we're the right answer, but we're very interested in it. And so I'm always looking to add people to our team who think that design first,
right,
and as opposed to just the data. I think the data for us, we've got all that under our belt.
Okay. The company, the transaction processing company and telemetry, are they co-located? Are they same people you're sharing admin and all that, or are they different places, different offices, the whole bit?
Co-located, different people.
Okay.
In quite different cultures and rhythm. The payments company's been around since the late 90s, very focused on availability, and it's a great consumer of telemetry TV. Telemetry TV, very startup, a lot more urgent, and you know, willing to absolutely try some flyers to see if we're heading the right direction. Mm-hmm.
And so both of the companies are based in Vancouver, downtown Vancouver?
Both in Vancouver, correct.
Is that a challenge to find developer talent around there, because it's a pretty hot software city now, and between that and the price of real estate, it's got to be challenging to attract people.
Yeah, it is, and we've been subject to that for many, many years. So, you know, our company, the payments company, and for sure with telemetry, we're so accustomed to remote.
Okay.
Making sure remote's productive, and then really trying to merge well with the gig economy that a lot of developers will utilize. So we can't tell if it's the office in New York or the beach in Thailand that's doing the check-in and the commit. But if it's good code, we're happy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the price of real estate is a lot better if you don't have to fill an office with 100 people. They're all available by Skype and Slack or whatever.
Yeah, and our scheduling app we use extensively. It ties in with Google's calendar, but also ties in with Google Meet. So we use the Hangouts technology and have video cons, and all of our stand-ups and everything is all done with that technology.
So where is the company at right now? Would you still consider yourself a startup?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, the bit of an identity crisis, just or an identity process, maybe not crisis, just didn't feel like, yeah, crystallizing on dashboards was the right thing. And digital signage was pretty noisy when we first got exposed to it. We had to get our arms around it. And that included, you know, all the things around programmatic television and things like that that we do quite well, you know, content tagging and mm-hmm. having all that rich context so that, you know, you're not displaying alcohol in Utah automatically, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got our arms around all of that, but still consider ourselves a startup. And now we're just really focusing on getting our campaign ecosystem working so we can start to raise our visibility and get some folks aware about what we're doing.
Right. And how do you buy it? Is it software as a service?
Software as a service, standard SaaS offering, $20 per display, and then the unit cost comes down on volume.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as we get deeper in it and content gets richer, some of the more sophisticated customers will come into a data usage fee at some point. But for most folks, it's just fill your boots, all you can eat.
Right. And it runs on Chrome devices, so all the way down to a Chrome bit.
Yeah, all the way down to a Chrome bit, and now, you know, even castable televisions. Okay. So it's a ton of fun with this stuff, it's amazing. I live in a very display-rich environment, and I was chuckling this morning even. I had no idea that space launches, they achieve like over 5,000 kilometers an hour. I'm watching this awesome video with these beautiful infographics by Elon Musk's team mm-hmm. that, you know, just probably on YouTube somewhere, but it happened to come up in rotation on one of our boards in the kitchen, and it was like, well, that's quite amazing. So I'm always enthused just to see how does this visual economy, we are creatures that love pictures and we love narrative and story. And I just see this coming together informed by really rich data. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, Peter, thank you.
Dave, thank you so much.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.